Genesis chapter 13. Now, Brother Bill read this to us a minute ago, and I want to go back over some of the verses here where Abraham and Lot separated themselves, the one from the other. Now, Abraham's trademark, or his the thing that was constant with Abraham, is lined out for us here in the first couple of verses. We'll read through them. Genesis 13:1. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, being between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Well, now Abraham had his tent. He was just a passing through this world. He was a pilgrim and a stranger, and he had his tent. And he had his altar. Everywhere Abraham went, that's what it talks about. He had his tent and his altar. Now, we'd do well if we didn't get too many ties in this world, get our roots sink so deep in this world that it'd be hard for us to turn loose of it. Now, I know that we're in the world, but we're not of the world, and we live in the world, and we have to use this world, but it doesn't have to take hold on our heart.
Right. Yeah.
The roots of this world, we cannot allow them to wrap around our heart and entangle us in the affairs of this life to where that the things of this world mean more to us than the things of God. Being children of Abraham, we need to have our tent, our pilgrim and stranger status in this world, and our altar. And he's in glory. And by him, we can always approach unto our Father and pour out our hearts unto him. So Abraham says to Lot, he said, now, the land's not able to bear us. There's not enough pasturage here for your flocks and my flocks to dwell together. So separate yourself from me and go your way and I'll go mine. If you go to the right hand, I'll go to the left. Doesn't matter to me. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here. And if you go the other way, then I'll go the other way. If you go to the left hand, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right hand, I'll go to the left. It really doesn't matter. So Lot took a little different approach. Lot looked around and he said, what is to the best of my advantage? Where should I go with my flocks and herds? And he said, here's all this plain of Jordan, and it's well watered everywhere, and there's cities and people down there, and there's plenty of pasturage there, so I'm going to go into the plain of Jordan. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom. He had Sodom in his eye. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Not at the first did he go directly to Sodom, but he pitched his tent at Sodom. And he went into the plain, and there he pastured all his flock. Verse 8. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, and if thou wilt depart to the right, I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld in all the plain of Jordan that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of the Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Lot dwelt in the land, or Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now Lot knew that. Word gets around. Lot knew that. But he, his pilgrim status, now, Lot was saved. You can't read the book of Peter and think that Lot wasn't saved, because Peter talked about just Lot, or justified Lot, being vexed with the filthy conversation of the men and women around him. He was saved, but he hadn't cultivated a vision of God always in his view. His vision was mingled. He liked the world. He loved the world. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, but he was a believer. He believed God, and it was justified. But look at, we'll come to that later. So here is Lot. He's separated from Abraham, and he is he's beginning to put down roots in the world. And they're beginning to be of too great a value to him. He's getting too closely attached in this world. Well, the next thing that happened, this is a bad decision for Lot all the way around, although materially it looked like a good thing. There's plenty of pasturage there, plenty of water, plenty of everything that he needed, but it was a bad decision, because in chapter 14, war breaks out. And Sodom and Gomorrah get overrun by Chedorlaomer, and he takes Lot captive and carries him off. And so where's Lot now? We're not told exactly where Chedorlaomer took him, but it certainly removed Lot out of the place where he wanted to be. So Abraham, when he heard that Lot had been taken, he armed 318 of his own men, and he joined war with Chedorlaomer, and he brought Lot back and all that Lot had. So Lot again was indebted to Abraham. Now look at chapter 18. Now in chapter 18, I want to go through this chapter. I'm going to go through it kind of slow-like. Verses 1 through 8, there are three distinctive things that Abraham had with the Lord that is for believers who have a close, intimate walk with the Lord. Lot didn't have these. Abraham did. First of all, in the first 8 verses, Abraham entertains the Lord. The Lord visited him, and he provided refreshment to the Lord. Then in verses 9 through 16 or so, 9 through 15, the Lord has conversation with with Abraham concerning his personal affairs. And then the Lord describes to him what he's about to do. So he took counsel. The Lord took him into his private counsel and told him his heart. He opened up his mind to him and his heart, told him what he was about to do. And then last of all, Abraham, he played the role of an advocate for others. So let's read through this and look at this. And this is because, now look at, first of all, before we read there, let me just turn over and read something to you here in the book of Revelation. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now he's standing at the door of the church of the Laodiceans, which was an apostate church. It was a church that had kicked out the gospel. They no longer believed the Lord. They were an apostate church, as is most of Christendom today. About all of Christendom today is apostate. They don't know the doctrine of Christ. They don't like the doctrine of Christ. They're not going to hear the doctrine of Christ. They say things like, don't preach about doctrine to us because that brings division. We want to love everybody and have everybody loved us. Well, that is not going to work in this world. It's just not. We're pilgrims and strangers in this world. And we're involved in a warfare. But the Lord says here in Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, if anybody in there amongst all you apostates hear my voice and sincerely want to come to me, then he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. We'll have fellowship with another. We could have a close, intimate walk. Look at look back at John chapter 14. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. There's no need to talk about loving the Lord if you're not keeping his word. If you love him, you'll keep his word. Those who don't love him don't keep his word. That's just how plain it is. It's hypocrisy to say we love the Lord and not keep his word. That is to keep it in our heart, before our eyes, above the world, because we're not of this world. We are not of this world. Believers are not of this world. All right, let's go back to Genesis 18. And we're going to see here now what a position of fellowship and honor that Abraham had with the Lord. Genesis 18:1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes, and lo, Three men stood with him, stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground. Now there's God visiting Abraham.
Yeah.
He never visited Lot. Lot was his, but Lot loved the world. He came to visit Abraham. And he said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to thy servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." So Lot offers refreshment to the Lord. Now the Lord is refreshed with acts of obedience and faith. And the Spirit is quenched with acts of disobedience and unbelief. Mm-hmm. Now there's a difference in the government of God and the grace of God. In the grace of God, by justification, we all stand on the same footing. We all have on the garment of salvation. We're all robed in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. But as far as fellowship and communion is concerned, God delights in obedience. Our Lord Jesus said, "I do always those things that please my Father." He was the perfect man. Now, if we would emulate him, we'd be like him. We'd seek to do those things that are pleasing unto our Father and be separated from this world.
Amen.
And that would be, that is a refreshing. The Lord delights in that. Mm-hmm. In an obedient child.
Yeah.
And in a child that delights in him and his presence with him. And Abraham hasted into the tent. And Abraham hasted into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly." I get ahead of myself reading. I'm sorry. I do a bad job. "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the altar." And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto the young man, and he hastened to dress it, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set them before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Can you imagine a scene like that? Serving the God that created this universe. That's quite a visitor. And quite an honor to the man whom he visited and the household that he visited. So Abraham refreshed the Lord. He sustained him humanly with food and so on. But he was near and dear to the Lord. And not only that, but the Lord began to talk to Abraham about to open up his mind to him and to declare unto him his will, what he was about to do.
Yeah.
Verse 9, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said," that is God said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, he had already told Abraham before, back in chapter 17, that Sarah was going to have a son. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in years, and it has ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am wax old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, and according to the time of life, Sarah shall have a son." Now notice something there. This is not just about Sarah. This is the promised seed. This is the purpose of God from all eternity, that a seed should be born, should come of their union, that would be a blessing in all the earth. Yeah. This goes far beyond Sarah, actually far beyond Abraham. Yeah. This goes all the way to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would accomplish at Calvary and that throng of believers that he'd bring to glory. Mm-hmm. There's much more in our walk with God than just our walk with God. God has a purpose in each of us to fulfill, whether it be great or little in our eyes. It's God's purpose, and that's all we need to know. That makes it great. Yeah. Whether it's great in our eyes or not, it's great because it's God's purpose in us. Amen. Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laugh not." Now, Sarah's unbelief made her a liar and a coward. She lied to God and made a coward of her because she said, "No, I didn't lie. I didn't laugh." "For she was afraid, but he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh." Now notice that what God had purposed to do in grace, according to his own determined counsel, Sarah's laughter, her sin, did not thwart God's purpose. It didn't change his mind. It didn't change anything. He had purposed this in his counsel and made it in his covenant, and it was something that was going to be. That's the way his covenant is. He said, "As for me, this is what I'm going to do." He was going to give Sarah a child and glorify his name. And then, so he's counseling Abraham on what he's about to do in Abraham's personal life. And now he's going to counsel Abraham and what he's going to do in the nations, in the world, in Sodom and Gomorrah particularly. "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way." In other words, he to visit with them as they traveled toward Sodom. "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" He was the chosen line that Messiah would come through. Yeah. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come before me, and if not, I will know." Now, God knows. His knowledge is perfect. But He goes not to make sure, because he is sure, but because he will, in his judgment and justice, go and see the thing that he knows is true.
Yeah.
His son had to die. And he reckoned his death from eternity to be an accomplished thing. He is a lamb, as he stood as a lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world. He calleth those things that are not as though they were. And the issues from death belong unto the Lord. So the things that issued from the death of our Lord Jesus Christ were in the hand of God to use as he would from the days of eternity. Else, Sarah and Abraham couldn't have been justified. But they were. By the very same blood that we are justified by. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So the Lord, evidently the Lord had sent these two others, and they must have been angels. And he must have sent them on to witness what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he stayed behind and talked further with Abraham. And here it is now, the Lord has opened up his mind to Abraham in what the Lord was about to do in Abraham's life and what the Lord was about to do in the lives of the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the Lord has stayed behind to talk with him. And now Abraham is going to intercede. he's going to play the role of an intercessor or an advocate for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?"
Yeah.
Of course he would do right. But notice the stand that Abraham takes with the Lord. He talks with him freely. Him being justified by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And him understanding that and knowing it. So he used the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his righteous standing with the Lord, and he used it in his approach to the Lord. And we have the same privilege to use that righteousness that God has imputed to us as the ground of our asking. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, you say, "Well, I'm not righteous in myself." No, none of us are. But we are made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And we can ask on the ground of that righteousness that God hath clothed us in. Let's see, is that verse 26, I guess. "And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city." Now think of that. That's a big town. "If I can find 50 righteous there, I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. And that's the way that we approach the Lord as what we are, dust and ashes, but clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and present Him as children of our Father. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry. Now, notice there, Abraham's faith, you know, he's limiting God. He was afraid that God'd run out of grace. As though God's grace wasn't sufficient. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And it is. It was for Abraham, it is for us. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 30. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there be 20 found. And he said, I'll not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet again. Peradventure there be 10. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. As soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. So Abraham provided for the Lord. He communed with the Lord. The Lord opened his heart and mind to him. And Abraham interceded for others. But there weren't 10 righteous in Sodom. And the Lord of all the earth did right. You know the history that the Lord rained Sodom and Gomorrah, or rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah and overthrew them. But what about Lot? Look here at what's happened to Lot. Now, at first, Lot just looked toward the plain of Jordan, the whole well-watered, the good place for pasturage and everything. Then he pitched his tent toward Sodom. We need to avoid Sodom. We need to avoid this world and not allow it to get a hold on our hearts. We need to shun it like the plague. But look here what's happened with Lot. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, to set in the gate of a town was to be a ruler in that town. The elders sat in the gates of those cities, and they were rulers. So Sodom had entered Lot had entered Sodom. He got along well there. He hadn't offended anybody, evidently, because he had come to a place of authority in that wicked place. Just Lot. Old carnal Lot. Old incestuous Lot. He'd come to a place of authority in that town. And Lot, seeing them, rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise early and go your ways. And they said, nay, We're not coming in your house. We ate with Abraham. I told Abraham all my heart what I was going to do, but I'm not going to your house. Just Lot, child of God. The angel said, I'm not going to your house. They said, we'll spend all night out here in these streets. We're not going in your house. What a rebuke. But we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and they and bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So he persuaded them, and he pressed upon them. Not that he did something that was against their will, but they permitted him to invite him in, and they would come in and avoid what would be taking place in the street. And then, before they lay down, the men of the city of Sodom came and compassed the house round, both old and young, and all the people of every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto them, where are the men that came into this night? Bring them out that we may know them. And so we'll pick up there next time, but you know the story. They told Lot what they were going to do. They said, now if you've got anybody here, get them out of here, because we're going to destroy this place. And we can't do anything as long as you're here.
Yeah.
The fire is not going to fall on this earth as long as the Lord's got his people here. Judgment's coming. The iniquity of this world has come to the full. And it's time for the hammer of judgment to fall. But I don't believe it's going to fall until the Lord removes his people, his church. And then all hell is going to break loose. And so the following morning, those two angels had to take Lot. He said, no, I'm not leaving here. No, I don't want to leave here. Don't make me go up into the mountains and live. Yeah, I've got it too good here. I've got a nice couch and a good bed. He said, no, I'm not leaving. So they took him by the arms, and his wife and his two daughters, and they had to bring them out. In other words, they had to drag them out of town. And to his sons-in-law, when he tried to warn them, it sounded to them as if he was a mocker.
Yeah.
So things did not go well with Lot. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. All right.